Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm unhappy today, Limits. As you know, I'm coaching a basketball team, and I went home and reviewed the film last night, and we didn't play any defense. That's 100% my fault.
So it was like an NBA game.
100% my fault. So that's going to change. And if anybody from there is listening right now, you tell the kids that will never, ever, 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 ever happen again.
I was going to say, I would hope that the kids are in class right now instead of listening to the opening soliloquy. But yes, if they are, hello.
My fault. And it won't happen again. Speaking of horrible defenses, shall we start with the Steelers?
No better place to start, huh?
Listen, man, this has been an interesting day. And the mental gymnastics that it takes for people to weasel their way out of Mason Rudolph played badly in that game is amazing to me. What are you doing, Limits? Oh, you're putting Bob's, there you go, Bob's cardboard cutout back on the chair.
You got to put Bob in his chair, yeah.
Put Bob in his place over there. What a man he's become, huh? He's over at the Tomlin News Conference. It's not the biggest story with the franchise, obviously, right? Thank you, Limits, for correcting my camera as well. But he played poorly. All of the above can be true. I don't want to dive into this again, except to address the people who addressed me yesterday, including Kabali, saying the quarterback played well enough to win. He's lost his mind. Like, what is this reflexive, not for him, but for everybody? Well, not everybody, but a lot of people. A reflexive defense of Mason Rudolph. Well, what game were you watching? Seriously. And then again, the mental gymnastics it takes to say all he could do was what Tomlin tells him to do. That's one of the questions I got on the old mailbag today. And I don't even mean to be ranting about Mason, but I need to get this off my chest to start the day. A guy called I Drop Sounds on X says Mason's doing what he's told from Tomlin. This has got Tomlin's name all over it. Dump off 5 yards, throw to the sidelines, don't throw down the middle, don't take chances. This reminds me of my conversation with Bob yesterday. All true about Tomlin's offensive philosophy, and that's the bigger problem with the Steelers. The biggest problem, and this is for those in back who need to listen better. The biggest problem with the Steelers right now is Art II. This is the reason they live, I called it, I think, Mediocrityville, right? In high-end mediocrity. They have a nice house in Mediocrityville. Better than most. But nobody takes them seriously as a Super Bowl contender, right? He's the biggest problem, okay? He's afraid to move on from Tomlin. Everything's changed in recent years. The GM, the quarterbacks a million times, the coordinators, whoever, except the head coach. And that brings us to our second problem, and that's Tomlin and his Stone Age philosophy on offense and his overpaid, crappy defense. Art's the biggest problem. Mike Tomlin is the second biggest problem. And Rudolph played poorly Sunday. Do you think that Tomlin has Rudolph on a puppet and tells him where to throw the ball every play? Did you see the second last play of the game when Jonnu Smith walked off the line uncovered? Read Chris Carter today in the Post-Gazette. He'll tell you about how many open receivers Mason missed the other day. Yes, it's all in the context of Tomlin's conservative philosophy. His overall philosophy is outdated. It's stone-aged. And that was reflected in his hiring of Arthur Smith. All true. And the quarterback played poorly. Made bad choices. Made bad throws. Look at the second throw of the game. First of all, he shouldn't be throwing the ball on the second throw of the game, let alone throwing it deep. They gained 9 yards on first down. Keep running the ball. But he threw it deep, and go watch the replay. DK Metcalf was easily going to beat that corner. The ball was so badly overthrown that the corner and Metcalf both stopped and were looking up at it. Like an underthrown Russell Wilson moon ball. You have us saying, Broncos country, let's ride, Limits. Can we find that with me, Pomp, and Sean? I want to hear that.
I think it might have expired.
What do you mean it expired?
It expired from the system.
We have things from 15 years ago, from the first day we ever were on the air here. Anyway, that was a shot, right? It's not like NFL teams take 60 shots downfield during the game. Nobody's throwing bombs all game. Rudolph had 3 chances. The first one was a comical overthrow that got picked off. And then I hear people, well, DK should have broken it up, as if it was DK's fault. Maybe he should have broken it up. It was a horrible throw. The second one to Roman Wilson broke up an interception. Another horrible throw. The third one was down the right sideline on the second last series of the game when Wilson beat his man, was one-on-one, and had nothing but green grass in front of him, and Mason threw it 5 yards out of bounds. So don't tell me all he could do in this offense was throw short. He had 3 shots way down the field to take, and he missed them. He misidentified receivers. He held onto the ball too long and got strip sacked, and it led to a Bears touchdown. And he didn't call timeout on the formation, the bad formation that even Rodgers recognized from the sidelines. Okay? So please, please, let's just get that out of the way early. Okay? Don't tell me Mason played well, and don't tell me Tomlin was making his choices for him. The offensive philosophy stinks, and Rudolph wasn't good the other day, and I think they win the game if Rodgers plays. And maybe we're having a different conversation. Is that out of the way? Are we satisfied with that at 412-928-9370? Can we separate these things? Is that possible? And put them in a hierarchy where Art is the problem right now. Tomlin's the second biggest problem. Rooney being responsible for Tomlin still being here. And Mason Rudolph didn't play well. It's okay. He didn't play well. He's a backup quarterback. The notion that he played well enough to win is so misguided that I could spend the next 4 hours breaking that down. Now let's get to the bigger story, because there is a bigger story. And it's this defense. Again, that's not absolving the offense. That's where I feel like people go tragically wrong here. I could tell you that Mike Tomlin didn't have Mason on a puppet string the other day and wasn't whispering in his ear, only throw it 2 yards. That's all we want today is 2 yards. Don't throw it to the guy open 7 yards. Throw it 2. And people hear that as a defense of Tomlin. Okay, so we're going to focus on the defense right now. That doesn't mean I'm absolving the offense or the overall offensive philosophy or Arthur Smith or anything else. It's all related. But if we're talking actual football on the field, the biggest problem with the Steelers is their $170 million defense that Mike Tomlin runs, that Mike Tomlin largely put together. He went out and got the pieces. He shopped for the ingredients. He cooked the meal, and everything stinks. It's the worst meal I've ever had. They are designed to win with defense. Tomlin's philosophy on offense is all related to him being deluded, thinking he has a great defense. Just don't screw it up offensively and we can win games. That's it. Don't make a turnover. Oh my God, don't make a turnover. Next time we make a turnover, we're forfeiting the game and getting on the plane. That's how fearful and paranoid that man is of a turnover. And the other way, man, all we got to do is get turnovers. So every time you see a receiver in the open field, just punch him like you're in the boxing match. Punch at the ball, swing at the ball, try and rip the ball out. Forget about tackling. Forget about covering people. Just punch the ball out. That's what we do. Meanwhile, I heard the morning show had a great line from Ben Johnson. The day he got hired in Chicago, who said it used to be turnovers that we measured, you know, wins by. You know, how you doing in the turnover battle? You winning the turnover battle? He said, oh, you have that clip?
Yeah, let's hear it, Joe.
The way I understand it right now from our analytics team, the EPA in the passing game is really one of the most critical factors in determining wins and losses right now. That's probably changed over the last 5 years or so. I would have said 5 years ago, turnovers, takeaways, that was number one. From what I understand now, that EPA for the passing game has now surpassed that. So whatever team has the higher passing game EPA at the end of the game, they generally win that game. It's over 80% of the time. So it's a huge stat, and that's where we look to how do we help inflate that number.
EPA, as I understand it, is basically explosive plays, expected points added. And from what I can decipher here, Limits, a lot of that has to do with explosive plays on offense. Is that how you understand EPA?
Yeah, that's how I understand it. And, you know, those big chunk plays to move the ball downfield.
Now, make no mistake, the Bears have thrived off turnovers for sure. Their defense stinks, but they do get turnovers. But offensively, it's about offense. It's about explosive rate on offense. I get that. But you have to prevent that as a defense, and the Steelers don't. So you could argue, you know, right from the beginning with the way the team is built from a philosophical standpoint is wrong with Tomlin. But this is the way he built it. He has a $170 million defense, the highest paid in the NFL, and that defense needs to perform at a high level pretty much every week for Tomlin's design to be realized. And it's not. So for the money it's getting paid, for the resources allocated to that defense, it's the biggest problem on the team. And there's no question about that. And people have railed against it this week, including from within their own locker room. So let's talk about this defense. Forget about Mason Rudolph for a moment. Forget about the offense and everything else. Let's talk about Mike Tomlin's defense, because a lot of people are. And that started in his own locker room after the game with Patrick Queen when, you know, if you read, I think it was Ray Fittipaldo or maybe it was Batko who said that he was biting his tongue here. I think they even reported he was, quote, sucking his teeth to try and keep from what he really wanted to say. But what he said, well, it was still a lot.
I think sometimes it was schematic issues that we had. It's kind of hard, you know, for two guys that's underneath defenders to try to guard two routes, you know, that's overhanging off the hashes and stuff. As much as you know, you try to play the run, you try to get back to a bang or whatever it is, it's hard to do that. It's kind of a bad spot to be in, but at the end of the day, we just got to be better, try to recognize and get back.
Is that something you could have adjusted in game?
Yes.
Didn't adjust in game is the last part. Schematic issues. So in a very nice way, I might add, Patrick Queen just called out the coaching. When you say schematic issues, you are by any definition calling out the coaching. Am I right, Limits?
No doubt about that. That's an indictment on your head coach and who runs the defense, which is the head coach.
And I'm no defensive genius myself, and I don't pretend to be one, honestly. But when I see things like they're lined up at the goal line, and they only have two down linemen, and one of them is Keanu Benton, and Trey Essex is screaming on Twitter, everybody knows Keanu Benton doesn't play well against a double team when they're just trying to drive the ball in the end zone. Where is Black? Where is Harmon? What are they doing? And I see Ben Johnson, who's, you know, as stoic as a statue the whole game, screaming into his headphones practically. I can't imagine it was anything but, can you believe they only have two down linemen in the game and who one of them is? And they just walked into the end zone right up the middle. Then on the wide open touchdown, was that to DJ Moore?
Yes.
Where he just wasn't covered, basically?
No one was 5 yards within him.
Some people made the excuse that the Bears saw the flag or the Steelers defenders maybe saw the flag and quit playing. There's no way that's possible. The flag came too late, and why would you do that anyway? What I saw was Echols and Porter in front of him playing zone with literally nobody in front of them on their side of the field. Now, maybe Porter was assigned to watch for Caleb Williams sneaking out of the backfield, but there was no running back outlet that way. It wasn't going to be a dump pass. Nobody had that responsibility. There was nobody on that side of the field. So you're playing two men in zone against nobody. They just stood there as DJ Moore ran past them into a wide open area, and Jalen Ramsey got sucked to the other side. I think it was Adunze, which, you know, you never know if a safety's making a right or wrong choice, but certainly on that one, he didn't look good. Schematics. Mike Tomlin hired a de facto coordinator in Terrell Austin, who got fired in Cincinnati after I think they allowed 54 points to the Saints. Basically somebody he could control. He had Brian Flores in the building here and could have just said, it's your defense, take it. But he doesn't want that. He wants to run the defense. He wants to do whatever he wants, and Art doesn't stop him, basically. Mike Tomlin has unlimited, unchecked power. You best believe that. And Art won't stop it. And therefore, you have a $170 million defense that is the very basis of this team. That is the reason that Tomlin thinks they can win. You might remember he was asked before the season about people like Juan Thornhill, and he wasn't the only one saying, man, we're going to be great defensively. Do you have Juan Thornhill saying we're going to make history? Oh, limitless wonder. It's one of my all-time favorite quotes. Juan Thornhill last seen diving in the air like a little leaguer misjudging a fly ball in that game.
I think it can be one of the best there of all time.
Really?
And I'm putting that in there now. One of the best of all time. I mean, when you got, literally, we got pieces everywhere. Look at the roster. Look at who we have. It's incredible.
They got pieces everywhere. I will agree with that. That's Juan Thornhill, the head coach of the football team, coming off a historical embarrassment in the playoffs against the Ravens. 299 yards allowed rushing. Didn't tamper that down when he was asked on the flagship station, what do you make of those comments? Mike Tomlin didn't say, that's just a guy talking. We're done talking. We need to play. Mike Tomlin didn't say, did you see our last game? The last thing we need to do is be spouting our mouths off about making history. Mike Tomlin didn't say that guy needs to shut up. Mike Tomlin took out a can of gasoline, poured it over Juan Thornhill's comments, and lit a match by saying, yeah, I think we can do big things. And by big things, I mean historic things.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. That content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you believe that? And then we get this. We get Caleb Williams on a day when, to be honest, he was wildly inaccurate, riddling a Steeler defense for 3 touchdowns, no picks. He did whatever he wanted. If he was accurate, he would have thrown for 400 yards. Guys wide open all over the field. No pass rush whatsoever. The Steelers made a big adjustment a couple games ago, 3 games ago or so. They decided to simplify things. And apparently they've decided to keep it that way, like nobody was going to catch on. I think Ben Johnson's going to catch on. I think he did. And now you have people shouting from the rooftops about this $170 million defense and how the schemes are hideous. Let's take a listen to good old James Harrison, who's not asleep at a meeting. He's wide awake on a podcast.
The Debo and Joe Show.
Defense. Soft. I'm tired of seeing the offensive linemen pushing our D-line 2-3 yards deep. We're undisciplined or poorly coached or both. We have a horrible defensive scheme. It's trash. It's garbage. We can't adjust at halftime. It's non-existent. Or we're just being outcoached or both.
Did he go on there? Is that done?
I wanted more. Yeah. Very fiery James Harrison. He's been like that every week.
Now, listen, you could say that James is trying to get hits on the podcast. We all are, right? But we need to be truthful or at least express our opinions. And he sounds right to me. Adjust at halftime, you say? The Steelers are getting scalded in second halves of games. Absolutely scalded. They stink offensively too, but the offense ain't getting 170. It's not $170 million worth of players. The Steelers are allowing 14.1 points per second half. That's 28th in the NFL. 2 touchdowns per second half. And they've been absolutely destroyed on multiple occasions. They allowed 24 second half points to the Seahawks, 15 in the fourth quarter to the Vikings, 16 in the second half to the Bengals, 28 in the second half to the Packers. Have the Packers scored 28 points since then? And at least 13 in the second half to 3 other opponents. If that doesn't speak to teams adjusting at halftime, I don't know what it does. Clearly, teams are spotting something, making adjustments, and carving this defense to pieces in the second half. Let's hear James Harrison one more time before we move on to another.
Defense. Soft. I'm tired of seeing the offensive linemen pushing our D-line 2-3 yards deep. We're undisciplined or poorly coached or both. We have a horrible defensive scheme. It's trash. It's garbage. We can't adjust at halftime. It's non-existent. Or we're just being outcoached or both.
That is tremendous stuff. I wouldn't want to be around him when he's angry. Limits, I don't think.
When I was at the celebrity softball game and James Harrison was around, I was worried just being around him. He could grab me with one hand and single-handedly hurt me in 5 seconds.
Yes. Well,
and put me in the hospital in 5 seconds. Joe, he is the strongest.
I'd come visit you, Limits, if I would.
I'm very assured by that. Thank you.
With a little wiffle ball brochure, I'd come visit you in the hospital.
I've never seen a man stronger than James Harrison.
Yeah.
In my life.
It's frightening. But I think he's right.
He is right.
He's right about the second halves and about coach. It's coming out of their own locker room. You know, it's coming out of their own locker room with Patrick Queen. But that wasn't the only ex-Steeler who jumped on this defense and the strategies they employ. Trey Essex, who's never shy with an opinion, was on The Morning Show, former Steelers offensive tackle. Let's take a limits. I mean, let's take a listen, limits, shall we?
It's a scheme thing, dude. It's all scheme. It's the talent is there. And for us to have, and I use this analogy, I guess, last week, but it applies every week, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, for us to go out there and play the way we played against a Colts team, for us to play the way we played last week versus one of the hottest offensive teams in the league, in the Bengals last week, and then to come out and just do that, I don't understand. I do understand. It is definitely scheme because the talent is there. And when you have the players come after the game and just say they don't know, when Wilson comes and it's like we're the best defense on one play and then we're not on other plays, like this is points strictly to the coaching and the positions that they're being put in on a play-to-play, game-to-game basis because it's not consistent and these guys seem to be confused.
Bingo. Although I don't want that to be heard. I don't know if Trey meant it this way. I don't want to absolve the players in this either. TJ Watt's not having a great season. He's not. Highsmith can't stay healthy. It's hard to blame a guy for that, but he simply can't stay healthy. The inside linebackers at times have been good, at times invisible. Secondary, I mean, you know, no matter what the scheme is, sometimes you're just asked to cover somebody. Did Kyle Duggar cover that guy on a touchdown? I thought he got beat. One-on-one. Jalen Ramsey got beat. But the bigger story there, I think, is the overall scheme. And about that Bengals game, I'm starting to wonder more and more how much those gusty winds played into that one. Oh, limitless wonder. That was a viciously windy day.
It was.
Almost impossible to throw the ball down the field. And I think that really, really helped them against Flacco, who specializes in that, and Higgins and Chase. I really do.
Yeah, I was at the game.
I really do. They got the benefit of the doubt that day. I'm not sure they get it in retrospect. However, having said all that, here's my hot take for the day. They're going to bounce back and beat the Bills because that's what the Steelers do. They tease us every year. They tease us within the same season. They smashed the Colts to pieces. They did. That was a great defensive performance. Thought they played pretty well against the Chargers. And then, perhaps with the benefit of high, gusty winds, they shut down the Bengals in the rematch. You got to give them some credit for that. Wins and all. They'll tease us, and they're going to tease us again. They might not just beat the Bills. They might hammer them. They might, defensively. Did you see what Houston did to the Bills' offensive line the other day? Now, that's a way better defense than the Steelers, believe me. But Atlanta and Miami had their way with the Bills, too. They don't have one receiver that you'd want to double team. Not one. They play like crap on the road, mostly. Their roster stinks. They have an otherworldly quarterback and I think a great running back in James Cook and a really good offensive lineman in Deion Dawkins. And other than that, I don't know how many of the players on the whole team other teams would covet. Shakir's a nice receiver, not a number one. Zero receivers you'd even think about double teaming. Zero pass rushers on the other side you would even consider double teaming. Their defense allows 150 rushing yards per game. They've allowed 17 rushing touchdowns. Buffalo gets dominated at the line, and I've seen every one of their snaps, gets dominated at the line of scrimmage, both sides, almost every game. And as I mentioned, the roster's trash. Brandon Bean is paying guys like Gregory Rousseau. He signed him to an $80 million extension. He has 3 sacks. Dawson Knox has a $15 million cap hit. He has 16 catches. Omar's not the only guy who can't find receivers either. Bean gave Curtis Samuel $15 million guaranteed. He gave Josh Palmer. Do you even know who that is? $36 million guaranteed. they make the Steelers receivers look like Swan and Stallworth. But Josh Allen's a miracle worker. The Bills could beat anybody on any given week because of him and Cook, really, but mostly because of Allen. But they're just not good. So what the Steelers are going to do on Sunday is tease us with a smashing win over the Bills, who are somehow a 4.5-point underdog. I don't know what Vegas is looking at. They're not looking at the Bills. They must have missed the game last week. They must have missed the games against the Falcons and Dolphins, both games against the Dolphins. The Bills outgunned Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. Good for them. We've seen them get unmasked a little bit too. And they beat the Chiefs, and that was a good performance. That was at home against their nemesis. They still could have lost the game, mind you, but they did have a good game against the Chiefs. They're going to come here and lose. The Steelers are going to win. The Steelers are still going to make the playoffs, mind you. They're going to do what they do, which is barely scrape in, get their asses kicked in round one. They haven't played a competitive playoff game since 2016. And then, you know, internally say it was good enough. How will we know they say that? Because they've said that every year, including last year, when they were humiliated by their arch rivals in yet another playoff game. Eighth straight year, they couldn't even field a competitive team in the playoffs. Haven't played a competitive playoff game since 2016. So I don't think it's really like a bold prediction to say they're going to go 9-8, 10-7, and get hammered in the first round of the playoffs. Because that's what they do. They tease us just enough. And they're going to win this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So maybe we're sort of in purgatory here, if that's the right way to phrase it. Is this the year that the I can't even phrase it because it's so ridiculous. It's not even the winning streak ends. It's the non-losing streak. Is this the year the big non-losing streak ends? And the wheels kind of come off, or will the Steelers do what they always do? I think I've seen enough that they're going to do what they always do. There's been some good mixed with the bad. There has. They hammered the Colts, for one thing, which was an impressive win, right? Trying to think of anything else they've done. Well, they did beat New England. They did look good in the rematch against Cincinnati. They did. They've done enough to show me that they're going to be who they always are. The parts change, except for the head coach. And that's going to start with, I think, a resounding win over the Bills. Because this is what they do. It just is. 412-928-9370. talked about the defense and how it's the biggest problem on this team. We also talked about Mason Rudolph a little bit and how if Rodgers had played, they would have won the game. I know that disappoints some people. That's the word one guy used. He was disappointed with my take. I think it's one of the most obvious takes I've had in 15 years of radio that Mason didn't play well. But okay. The biggest problem is the defense. So the Steelers will beat the Bills. They'll beat Miami at home and they'll beat Cleveland. That gets you to 9. And then they're going to have a big game against the Ravens no matter what. And I think we're going to have to wait and see if it's the annual Ravens JV game or not. Semi-annual, I guess. I guess we'll wait and see for that. All right, let's hit the lines, limits. Are you feeling a win this weekend?
No.
No?
No, I've thought since the very beginning of the season, and I still think that the Steelers will lose this game to Buffalo, and I am very confident in saying that. I do not feel good about this game at all.
What makes you confident in the other guys?
Well, the fact that they have Josh Allen and the Steelers do not.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
And
didn't help the Bills in Houston or Miami or Atlanta.
Right, but we know that the Steelers have a lot of schematical issues, and we know that Josh Allen can make a lot of defenses look foolish if they can't contain him. And I know that Buffalo's defense isn't great, but what is instilling any confidence in the Steelers' offense right now? So I just think that the Josh Allen wow Superman factor is ultimately going to push Buffalo with their backs up against the wall to a victory.
It might. Because he's that guy. He is. But, man, he just James Cook's a great player. But Josh Allen has gotten broken in half on a number of times this season. And you saw the other night, that was ugly. The game in Atlanta was ugly. The Falcons, they got blown out by the Falcons and the Dolphins. They got destroyed by Miami in Miami just a few weeks ago. 412-928-9370. I think the other topic on people's minds, limits, and maybe this is the swing game in regard to what I'm talking about here, whether it's going to be a wheels fall off type of season, like they truly finally fall off, or same old Steelers for better or worse. Gonna tease us, they're gonna get to the playoffs, that type of thing. Maybe this game is the swing game for that, goes one way or another. And if this goes poorly, especially from the start of the game, Crowley and Doran were talking about, will we hear fire Tomlin chants? Mm-hmm. Will it get ugly in the crowd? My hope is that it doesn't. Because I think Mike Tomlin has earned too much respect for what he's done here. He did win a Super Bowl. He, I think, is a great representative of the city. And nobody's been more critical of him than me. All of that can be true, too. So I hope we don't hear that. I wouldn't engage in that if it were me. But I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance it could happen at 412-928-9370. You know, I think if you're determined to boo somebody or determined to blame somebody, doesn't it start with the owner of the team? I mean, I think a sell the team chant would be more appropriate than a fire Tomlin chant. The same chants we get over at the Pirates. If you're really looking to identify the issue, and you want to address that with your voices at a game, I think it's the owner that would be the more appropriate focal point there. I really do. 412-928-9370. Limits, what do you got? Let's go to the phone calls. Limits is engaged with somebody in a very animated conversation.
Yes, people are very animated, Joe.
I would imagine.
I'm trying to get them to calm down on the show. They're very, very frustrated and irritated with the state of the Steelers. Let's start with Bill in West Mifflin. He thinks it's a lot of the same problems, Joe.
Well, let me tell you, Bill, and let me tell everybody out there, 9 years without a playoff win is an absolute eternity in the NFL. It's multiple lifetimes. Like, you take some of the greatest coaches – of all time. Take some of the greatest coaches of all time, and their entire career was right around 9 years. John Madden only coached 10. Bill Walsh coached 10 years. Brian Billick coached 9. He's not a legend, but he only coached 9. He won a Super Bowl. Jimmy Johnson only coached 9. How many did Vince Lombardi coach? 10 or 11? I mean, it's unbelievable. When you look at history, how long 9 years truly is. My God, Andy Reid has coached 27 years? How did that happen, Limits? So to go 9 years without even being competitive in a single playoff game, really no matter what you did before that, is just an eternity. Bill Walsh, a 10-year career. Why can't I find Lombardi? That's making me angry.
Again, Lombardi coached the Packers from 1959 to 1967 and also the Redskins in 1969.
So how long was his career? 10 years. It's right here.
Yeah.
Only 10? Maybe the most famous football coach who ever lived only coached 10 years and fashioned that legendary career in a single decade. We're going on a decade without even having really a chance to win a single playoff game. Single. All right, let's hit the lines.
All right, here is Bill in West Mifflin. Bill, are you there?
Starkey, pretty much I agree with everything. Some way I think they're going to sneak in there and get the Bears in the first playoff game. And it's, the worst thing about it is, like, you kind of look in the future. Who are you excited to watch for next year? I mean, there's, like, you look at her, like, no one's really doing anything even to give you a promise for next year. I mean,
most people would say Will Howard for the new quarterback is going
to
be.
You know what? That's exactly, I was ready to say that. It was Will Howard. But, you know, with the inconsistency of all the other teams, except for, like, you know, the Rams, who's going to beat the Rams the way you look at it now. But, I mean, New England and I think maybe Denver is the most consistent in the AFC. Like, but, yeah, I think Will Howard's the only one, but he'll never get on the field. I like to see him lose this game and say, all right, let's do something for the future.
I mean, I'm trying to think who else I'd be. They do have some good players. Do you agree with Trey Essex that it's more a matter of scheme than talent on defense?
I don't know. I don't know schemes enough. It's just like there's no one doing anything exciting on this. Like, really.
Well, like, that's because they're boring really, offensively for
yeah,
one
they're,
thing.
They're very boring. I mean, I like to even see what the third round running back will
Jaylen
do.
Jalen Warren is a fun player to watch.
Yeah. No, I would like to see what this third. See what. Oh, this receiver that's on the practice squad, can they just, like, maybe bring him up there? Just have him go deep to have some kind of threat with his Marquez.
Yeah, but then you got to have a quarterback who can hit him deep. And Mason was 0 for 3 with 3 horribly thrown deep balls the other day. So I don't know. Would Rodgers hit him deep? I hope so. Anyway, thank you. He sounded depressed, Limits.
He did. He sounded sad. Maybe JD and Baldwin will bring a little bit more of the thunder.
Hello, JD. What's up?
Joe, you know, this Steelers season, it's like the movie Groundhog Day. It's the same thing over and over and over. We never seem to get out of this rut. And it starts at the Tomlin press conference. Now, as much as we'd all like to hear somebody ask Tomlin, with all the linebackers that Chicago had out, why didn't you attack the middle of the field? It's going to be, hey, how's Aaron Rodgers' wrist? Do you think he's going to play? And, you know, his answer will be the same word salad. Well, we'll let his level of participation this week determine whether he's able to, go under center. It's time for people to start really asking questions to Tomlin.
Oh, my God. We've been asking questions for 10 years. It's time for Art Rooney to wake up. It's not about the media here. What question do you want to ask that you think he's going to answer? What question do you want to pose to Tomlin that will change everything?
Something better than what we've been hearing, and I love.
Give me one. Give me the question. Give me the question you want to ask Tomlin, unfiltered. Go ahead and ask it, right now.
Mike, who do you put the blame on for the loss to Chicago?
Put it on me. I'm responsible for everything. I've asked him. I've asked him those questions when I used to go there and ask questions.
Will he dance around it, Joe?
Either one. He said, put it on me plenty of times. Who's responsible for the draft picks? Me, he said. He says that. Would that make any difference to you? Like, what answer could he deliver that would make any difference to how you view him or the team?
Well, anything is better than what he said up to this point is what I'm trying to say.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you. That's the part I just don't get. Like, what else do you want to be asked? Who's next, Limits?
All right, let's go to our guy Emmanuel and Carnegie to chime in.
Hello, Emmanuel. First, let me tell people to listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page and the 50-minute mark on The Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. What do you got?
Man, I'm not sure it's the weather or because I'm tired. It just feels very depressing today.
Yeah.
And like the last caller, Mike Tomlin's going to say the same old things. There's no reason to even ask those questions. We're definitely going to need a change. And it starts with Rooney and up there, you know, and it works the way down. It is definitely scheme. I think we still have the talent. Bob was bringing up the fact that we were playing 10 yards off the ball on the third and five.
Yeah, those are fair questions. I wouldn't mind a couple of those today with specific examples. Mike, why were Brandon Echols and Joey Porter just standing there in his own defense with nobody in front of them on the wide open touchdown? Or Mike, why'd you only have two down linemen at the goal line and they both got run over and one was Keanu Benton, who, as your former player Trey Essex says, gets destroyed in double teams. Why were you basically in a nickel defense on the 2-yard line? And all I did was walk it in. Those questions are fair. I'll buy that.
And with all of that, you're right. I think we still could have sneaked by with Rodgers. Mason Rudolph is not the guy. I've been saying that since day one.
Well, nobody thinks he's the guy. Nobody in their right mind thinks he's the guy, but there are a lot of people who think he played well enough to win, apparently, starting with Cabali.
Well, the problem is, again, is Tomlin. He thinks his defense is the 2008 defense.
Right.
We have to play. We have to coach as if we're going to give, like the Cowboys and Bengals, as if we're going to give up 30 points a game. We don't have a defense, so he cannot play.
Right, but when you say that to him, his answer will be, oh, that means we need to keep the ball for a long time and go on, you know, 23-play drives. And those are wonderful when they work, and they look really pretty, and they've had a few of those. They even had one under Matt Canada, as I recall. Just one. But that's no way to live in the NFL, to have to execute, you know, 16 plays perfectly to get down the field or at least, you know, be able to convert on every third down the field. That's no way to live in the NFL. You're right. And that philosophy is wrong. But when Tomlin looks at really explosive offenses, he says to himself, we got to dummy the game down, get him wrestling in the mud. And you know what? To his credit, they do it enough to where the non-losing streak lives. And it'll continue to live. It'll live on. Long live the non-losing streak. Because it's going to continue this year, whether you like it or not. They're going at least 9-8. They're going to beat the Bills. Next.
Yeah. 9-8. Let's go. Yeah. 9-8's fun, Joe. I love going 9-8.
Win one for
every
the Gipper.
Year.
Yeah.
Here's Greg in Youngstown. I'm sure he'll have a positive view.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's going on? Your attacks on Rudolph are unjustified, honestly.
Yeah. Wait. You call them attacks on Rudolph?
Yeah, you're attacks? Just attacking the dude.
Attack. Tell me what I'm wrong about. Tell me one thing I'm wrong about, because it's just a critique of his play, and he made a great throw to Freiermuth. You tell me what he did well.
They don't have pass routes. They don't do slants. They don't do posts. They don't have receivers that can run a route. So what do you want the guy to do? What do you want the guy to throw to? Empty to no one, to another. Like everybody complains that, oh, I want you to throw the ball 50 times in a game. Okay, you're going to have 4 interceptions. Any team will.
Was Roman Wilson open down the field on the second last series?
That's not an easy pass to throw.
It's not an easy pass to throw. He ran right by his guy, and Rudolph threw it 5 yards out of bounds.
How was the throw to Metcalf? Listen, if you want
how
to
was the throw?
The easy,
how was the throw to Metcalf? Let's take turns.
He should have caught the ball.
He should
have battled for the ball.
He should have caught the ball. Oh, my God. How was the throw to roll?
He should have battled for the catch. How was the battle for catches?
What about the strip sack? Whose fault was that?
He made a mistake. How many interceptions did Roethlisberger throw in a game? He could throw four interceptions in
a game. Yeah, Ben tended
to
make up for it, I think.
Yeah, but they don't let the guy throw the ball.
Did he?
Okay, if you don't have slants and listen to me real quick.
Yeah.
If you don't have slants and post and plays over the middle, you're not going to win. You can't throw the bomb every play. I don't know what sports you're watching. It doesn't work.
Wait, he threw a bomb. He threw a bomb every play. He threw 75 passes that went 2 yards, and then when he did get a chance to throw it down the field, it was wildly inaccurate.
But you're blaming the guy because the crazy.
And let me talk for a second. The crazy thing is you consider that a, quote, attack, which is really weird. But go ahead.
No, you did attack him. Okay. So
Let's go back to that. How do you define an attack?
You're blaming the guy for us losing, but it's the coach in our coaching. They're the ones who are to blame.
Limits.
Not
this is the type of guy I'm talking about who's unable. Just unable to hold two ideas in his head at the same time. I've explained 97 different ways that the overall problem with the Steelers is Art Rooney 1, Mike Tomlin 2, and I've explained it 8 trillion different ways, and Mason Rudolph played poorly. If that's an attack on Mason Rudolph, I don't know what you're... Is the guy still there?
No, Greg is gone. I like Greg, but you're right. He's not... You weren't attacking Mason Rudolph. You were just giving fair, reasonable critiques to his play.
It's not even an opinion.
No, it's a fact.
It's a fact. He played poorly. What are we looking at? So if I say he played poorly, that's a defense of Tomlin? What kind of, like, four-year-old thinking and logic is that? Within the parameters of Mike Tomlin's crappy offensive philosophies and his mediocre coordinator and his living in his fears on offense that we've harped on 8 trillion different times here, Mason Rudolph played poorly. Oh, my God. Anywho, who's next? Farabaugh?
Unless you want to take one more.
No, I don't think I
do. No, you know what? Seth in Long Island usually brings a pretty positive
Limits, we're at the top. All right, Seth, how you doing, buddy?
Just a minute, Seth.
Hey, yeah, sure. Hey, great, Joe. All good, man. Happy Thanksgiving early and enjoy. Yeah, bottom line, I'm just telling Limits. 15 years of getting chewed up underneath in the secondary, dink and dunk. Brady loved playing us. And you're 100% on point. The philosophy is antiquated. It is outdated. You need to score points, get your defense on the field, and let them make plays. But the offense has to control the game in the 2025 NFL. And the other thing I'll leave you with, when you can't score more than 7 points in 60 consecutive games.
Unbelievable.
In the first quarter,
yeah.
That says it all right there. That's disgusting.
That is an incredible streak, Limits, and thank you for the call, especially from Long Island, one of my favorite places and where I was born. 60 games in a row without eclipsing 7 points in the first quarter. They showed a graphic the other day. That's the second most in the NFL, second longest such streak in the NFL since 1950. I was there.
Yikes.
Since 1950. What an embarrassment for Mike Tomlin, because every one of those 60 games was under him. Well, why are you blaming Rudolph then? Well, yeah, that's all true, and Rudolph played poorly. I'm not sure about that. I have people saying, Bob's right about Tomlin. Yeah, I know. I say the same thing all the time. It's Tomlin's offensive philosophy that's the overriding problem. And saying Rudolph played poorly doesn't absolve Tom. I'm losing my mind here. I'm losing my mind on live radio. Limits, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
I need your help.
I'm just trying to calm you down.
Maybe Nick can sort this all out. You know what? If Nick comes on and tells me that Rudolph played really well, or that the only reason Rudolph played poorly was because of Mike Tomlin, or that he saw with a special camera that Tomlin had Rudolph on an invisible string, and he was actually a puppet during the game. And he told Rudolph exactly where to throw the ball in every play and told him to under... That guy just came on the radio, that... What's his name? Greg?
Greg.
And said that Metcalf should have caught that ball on the second play of the game.
Yeah, no, that was just poorly underthrown football.
Horribly. Both guys
stood
there. That was not a
50-50 ball. And some people have tried to argue that that was 50-50. No, it was not. It was more like 70-30 in favor of the defender.
Mike Tomlin didn't throw that ball. He didn't throw the ball 5 yards out of bounds. He didn't throw the ball to Roman Wilson. He didn't ignore open receivers all day, as Chris Carter said Rudolph did, as you could see on the final series. If you tape the game, go back and watch the second last play, third down, when Jonnu Smith just walks off the line wide open. You hit him, it's a first down, maybe. It's certainly a field goal then. You just trot the field goal unit out. There is still 29 seconds left after that play. It's maddening. It really is. It's okay. It's okay. Mason played bad. It's okay. He's a backup. And Tomlin's overall philosophy stinks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.